Now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Testing, testing, check, check, check.
Hello there, this is funny lady Judith Lucy.
Hi, this is Joel Creasy.
Hey, this is Fiona O'Loughlin.
Hi guys, McLaughlin here, that would be of the Craig variety.
Hi, this is Shayna Blaze.
Hello, this is Tom Ballard.
Hi, this is Melissa Capp.
G'day, this is ScoMo, Scott Morrison.
Hi, this is Reece Nicholson.
Hi, it's Gina Liano from The Real Housewives of Melbourne.
Hi, this is Reece Mastin.
This is Kathy Griffin.
Hey, this is Todd Collin.
Hello, this is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to
The Troy Murphy Show.
Troy Murphy laughing at me in the other studio. Oh, he's dancing to my radio vet. Hello, Troy.
He's ready for his close-up. It's the Troy Murphy Show.
Ladies, gentlemen, them, they, and all, welcome to the Troy Murphy Show. I'm, of course, your host, Troy Murphy, and this, as the name suggests, is the Troy Murphy Show. And what is the Troy Murphy Show, I hear you ask? Well, my friends, it's an opinion-based talk show with something for everyone, but not everything to everyone. We encourage debate, discussion, as we sometimes put our serious hats on to look at the big issues in the news. And on the other side of the coin, we look at the weird, wacky, and wonderful news from around the world to, you know, have a good laugh at, make us feel better, because even though we like the serious, we also like to not be serious. You know, for the yin and yang, the balance of it all. A huge thank you to Jamie Sims for taking on the first hour of Drive. Brilliant as always, my friend. Which brings us to today's celebration of the day. Yes, that's right, we kick off each show celebrating, as always. Here on the Troy Murphy Show, every day is a celebration, as today, the 22nd day of the month of December in the year 2022, we celebrate National Short Person's Day. Yes, that's right. Today is the day that we celebrate all the short kings out there. Yes, all the little people. I mean, shorter people. We're only minutes into the show and teetering on the line of we're about to get cancelled. Yeep. But you know what I mean. We all know someone who might just be a little shorter than everyone else. Well, today we celebrate them. Which brings us to this week's top five, as we do the top five reasons why being shorter is better. Now, I'm not speaking personally here. I am of average height, but I do know a few short people. Shout out to my friends who are a little bit shorter. And all this information comes from studies that have been done. You know I love a good study here on the Troy Murphy Show. So let's kick off the top five.
Five.
According to a 2014 study, being short could lower your risk for certain cancers.
Four.
For shorter men, another 2014 study found that you are three times a week more likely to have adult cuddles.
Three.
According to a study from the New York University, men under 5'7" are 32% less likely to get divorced.
Two.
Shorter people generally live longer. That's because they don't have, they're not too close to the ceiling, you know, for fans and stuff.
One.
And number one, the floor is never too far away, you know, for when you trip over. On the show this week, oh, it's a doozy of a show. A doozy with a capital D. It's also, you know, our last show before Christmas, so there's a lot of Christmassy stuff that we'll be talking about. Mostly pointing our finger and laughing at. But we'll be taking a look at a doctor who claims that fat Santas should be banned. Yeah. We'll also look at the bouncy ball of Twitter as Elon Musk resigns as Twitter CEO. We'll ask you to have your say. The question is currently up on the Facebook page. Search the Troy Murphy Show. Click like, find the question, give us your answer. As we ask, is it wrong to ask guests to bring a dish to Christmas lunch? And we'll also take a look at some of the strange news stories that you may have missed this week, along with a man who put a World War I explosive device into him. And when he went to hospital, the whole place had to be evacuated. Strange but true, and we'll discuss it, plus so much more. Oh, and something fun on the show this week. Being Christmas, you have heard the Troy Murphy Show house band single about jingles.
It's crazy and it's zany. It's delirious but grainy. Tastes a little gamey. The Troy Murphy Show.
Well, they're in the studio live this week to sing Christmas holiday songs as part of this, the Troy Murphy Christmas Show. And with that, let's dive headfirst into this week's show without any safety gear, of course, because that's how we like to do things here on the show, responsibly.
It seems today that all you hear is music on the radio and murder on podcasts. But where are those good old-fashioned talk shows on which we used to rely? Lucky there's a Troy Murphy Show. Lucky there's a man who positively can do all the things that make us tune in live.
Never miss a show. Listen on demand. Click the Troy Murphy Show on the 2SR.com.au homepage program guide.
I've got my ridiculous Santa hat on that glitters and sparkles, and it's time to get festive here on the Troy Murphy Show with the Troy Murphy Show's house band as we kick off our Christmas sing-along with the beautiful song, The Most Wonderful Time of the Year. Stick around, because coming up next, we're going to talk about a doctor who claims that fat Santas should be banned. But first, let's have a sing-along.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle-belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all, with those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. It's the most wonderful time. Oh, the most wonderful time of the year.
The Troy Murphy Show, driving you home Thursday nights from 6 p.m.
File this next segment under Bah Humbug. You know, every year there are Grinches out there who try to ruin Christmas in any way they possibly can. And you know what? Sometimes you just want to ask these people, who hurt you? Who hurt you as a child? Didn't Santa bring you that red bike that you wanted? Is that the reason why you're like this? Point in case, health expert Australian health expert. I'll probably butcher his name, but I'll give it a go anyway. Dr. Vincent Candrawinata. Yeah, I butchered that. Anyway, he's a researcher at the University of Newcastle. And he's called for all fat Santas. He's called for all fat Santas to be banned from shopping centres and to be replaced with a fit skinny Saint Nick. And for that to become the new normal, claiming that an overweight Father Christmas is sending the wrong message and promotes binge eating. What? Where's the politically correct bandwagon? You know, the fat-shaming people, you know, the those that promote fat is fine. Where are they on this one? I haven't heard a peep out of them on this one. Anyway, there seems to be a little outrage over this one. But you know what? Whilst I tend to agree that obesity is something that we should not glorify, you know, fat is fine, but, you know, it's not something that should be glorified. It can be unhealthy. This is Santa we're talking about, a fictional character who has always been a bit of a fat man. You know, I know change is good, and as you get older, you dislike change and you like to keep traditional. That's part of the human DNA. But come on! It's Santa we're talking about here. Let's take a listen to some audio, an audio clip of this Dr. Vincent Candrawinata, to see what he had to say.
Christmas is a joyful, jolly season of the year, and I would like people to not associate it with the urge of gorging themselves with unhealthy food and beverage. Obviously, for me and for a lot of people, Christmas is one of the earliest childhood memory, joyful memory. And I think this is an opportunity for us to talk about a healthier option. Say, for example, she's absolutely right, Mel, was that? How could Santa be skinny or healthy if his diet is just milk and cookie? Maybe, as parents, we should teach our kids or give an option to our kids to leave out an apple, for example, as an alternative, because everything should be about balance. And I really think that when kids ask us, or as a society or parents, why this Santa is not as large as other Santa, I think it's an opportunity and a teachable moment for us to tell them that, you know what, being happy does not equal gorging yourself with all these sweets and fats, fatty food, and regret it comes January, and create that vicious cycle of trying to lose weight in the new year.
You know, I think in that clip, he's conflating multiple issues. You know, kids asking why Santa is fatter than another. You know, it doesn't really happen, does it? I don't know. And, well, I do know. It doesn't happen. And gorging yourself to be happy and losing weight in the new year, that's an adult problem, not a kid problem. Bringing it all together as one is nonsensical and gives his cause very weak foundation. His solution, however...
Red and green apples? I think it's no coincidence that red and green are Christmas colours. I also would like to encourage people not to only leave carrots for the deers, but maybe for Santa as well. And I really think that, like you said, this can be a conversation starter. And when kids ask questions, it means that they're interested. And when they're interested, it means that they are more likely to take action. And this is exactly the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing, to start a health and wellness brand, because I want to help people.
Good luck, buddy. I highly doubt his push for a fit Santa will work. I think he's projecting his, daddy issues and desire for fit men into one. And blaming it on Christmas. I don't know. I'm speculating. Look, I guarantee you that the last thing on kids' minds when they look at Santa is his weight. I have a 6- and 4-year-old niece, and trust me, it's all about the naughty or nice list for them. And in the 4 years that I've been performing Santa as Santa Puppet, being booked for personal and corporate gigs, I don't recall once his weight ever being mentioned or questioned. Or a kid, you know, wanting to be like Santa. No kid wants to be like Santa. Kids want the gifts. Kids don't want to be given the gifts out. They don't want to be like Santa. Maybe, you know, they might like the cookies and milk, but, you know, that's about it. They don't want to be fat like Santa. If you really want to get woke about Christmas and the message it sends, let's talk about the commercialization of it all and what life lessons that teaches. Not putting Santa on a diet. What if cookies and milk is just his cheat day? You know, Christmas Day and all that hard work, putting the presents together, wrapping them, putting him in the sleigh, flying around the world. What's a few billion cookies and liters of milk? You know, it could be his reward. Maybe Mrs. Claus makes him eat salad for the rest of the year. How dare this doctor assume or judge what Santa does on every other day other than Christmas? And just to prove how ridiculous this push for a healthy Santa is, in a recent poll run by the Daily Mail, it shows only 3% of people wanting to push to promote a healthy Santa, and 97% of those polled happy with him being just as he is. Common sense has prevailed. Stick around, because coming up next, we're going to talk about Elon Musk, Twitter, and how he's going to resign as CEO.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
2SSR can help you promote your business with an innovative and inexpensive marketing plan. Our in-house team will help you design a campaign, voice the audio, and give it the professional production values you need. To find out more, call us on 9545 1800 or email info@2SSR.com.au to organise a talk with our experienced marketing team.
Hi, it's Kale. Hope you can join me for Friday Night Live every Friday from 7 to 9pm for a mix of pop and indie music, interviews with interesting people, and all the music and entertainment news from the Shire, Sydney and beyond. Friday Night Live, 7pm on 2SSR 99.7 FM. I'll see you there.
2SSR FM 99.7.
Never miss a beat. Follow The Troy Murphy Show Facebook page. Search The Troy Murphy Show.
Countdown to Christmas. This is the Troy Murphy Christmas Show. And doing all things Christmas, the Troy Murphy Show house band are in the studio live to sing Christmas songs that you can sing along with. Here we go.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Sing,
oh, yeah.
And heaven and nature sing. Boom, 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 boom. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King.
The Troy Murphy Show, driving you home Thursday nights from 6pm.
File this next segment under Are You Following the Twitter Bouncy Ball? Oh my goodness, this is becoming a bit of a full folder as Twitter HQ is a mess. You know, I know people with bipolar who are in more control off medication than the flipping and flopping over at the 16th most popular global social media platform in the world based on monthly active user stats for 2022. Ooh, fun fact. Yes, Twitter is a dog's breakfast. And if you haven't been following the crazy and zany, well, here's what's happened in the last week alone. On the 19th of December, Elon Musk tweeted a poll on his personal page message asking his followers and Twitter alike to, quote, "Should I step down as head of Twitter? I will abide by the results of this poll," end quote. The poll garnished 17,502,391 votes, of which 57.5 of those people voted yes. Yes, he should stand down. You know, I should interject here and say that at the time that this poll was live and people could vote, I tweeted that it was my gut feeling that Elon actually wanted to step down as head of Twitter and that this poll would legitimize his step down whilst giving him the victim card to play. Let's see if that last part comes true. I'm sure it will happen sooner rather than later. Subsequently, Musk has tweeted that he will keep to his word and, quote, "I will resign as CEO as soon as I find someone foolish enough to take the job. After that, I will just run the software and server teams," end quote. So what does this mean? Well, according to a report by The Guardian, there have long been calls from Wall Street for Musk to step down. And recently, even Tesla investors have questioned whether his focus on the social media platform is distracting him from properly steering the electric vehicle business. Musk has also admitted in court back in November that he had too much on his plate to run the company and would eventually find someone to run it in his place. That's a good thing to remember because it's all part of this strategy, this very strange strategy. He's very chaotic, Elon Musk, and he does things, you know, rather disorganized. And, well, if his past track record is anything to judge by, there's the chaos and then it becomes very profitable. So I guess we really should watch this space. So, you know, so for everyone that's harping on about this being messy and not the way to run a business, I kind of got the feeling that this is his plan all along. I assume that him stepping down as CEO has just been fast-tracked because of investment pressure, not public pressure from everyone complaining about, you know, Elon being CEO. If that were the case, I'm pretty sure he'd stick around longer. It's got plenty to do with investment pressure. Remember, it was only last week that he was knocked off from the number one position of world's richest man to become the second world richest man. And I'm sure that's going to bruise his ego. But technically, you know, Twitter really still at the moment is a train wreck. Since Musk bought the social media site in October, November, December, 3 months, not even that, he's fired about half of his staff and attempted to roll out Twitter paid for verification feature before putting on pause, but then relaunching it, which I don't think is activated globally yet. Only in the United States that you can pay to be verified. Terrible for all of us original verified people. Civil liberties groups have also criticized his approach to content moderation, accusing him of taking steps that will increase hate speech and misinformation. And the United Nations and European Union have condemned him over the decision to suspend some journalists who cover the social media firm. Ooh, he doesn't like bad things written about him. Speculation is afoot, ladies and gentlemen, of who will replace him, including Twitter co-founder Jack Dorsey, who resigned as chief executive in November of 2021, so about a year ago. Others include Sheryl Sandberg, Facebook's former chief operating officer, Shyam Krishnan, an engineer and close confidant to Mr. Musk, and Jared Kushner. If you recognize that name, it's because he was the US former presidential advisor and is the son-in-law of Donald Trump. Again, we will keep our eye on this crazy yet zany story as it continues to unfold. Stick around because coming up next, it's our weekly Have Your Say. And the question we'll be asking, it's up on the Facebook page. You can answer it now if you like. Is it wrong to ask guests to bring a dish to Christmas lunch?
Catch up with all the latest news from The Troy Murphy Show. Visit www.thetroymurphyshow.com.
Troy Murphy Christmas Show. And as part of this festive time of year, we're playing holiday music as sung by the Troy Murphy Show House Band. They're live here in the studio. Press and play on the tracks we recorded earlier. But we'll pretend they're live. You know, it's the theatre of it all. But I would like to just have a little opinion, a little rant. That's what we do here on the Troy Murphy Show. We love to rant about the term Merry Christmas. It is becoming taboo to say it, and the bandwagon society is replacing it with happy holidays. I get it. Happy holidays is more inclusive. You know, it's not just Christmas that is being celebrated at this time of year. However, I disagree with the negativity towards the term Merry Christmas. You know, it's almost as though if you say it, you know, you're anti everything else, racist, throw whatever ist or obe at it, at these bandwagoners can. I disagree with this. A lot of people do celebrate Christmas. I celebrate Christmas. And I think that the negativity around the term Merry Christmas is that it is loosely, was previously, still is, based on the Christian tale of the birth of Christ. And that evolved into Christmas, and that evolved into the commercialization of Christmas and Santa and all that sort of stuff. And I think generally that is more so what people are celebrating nowadays, the commercialization, less than the Christian side of it all, which is why Merry Christmas is still popular. But I don't like that the term is being shunned in favor of Happy Holidays. I get it. Happy Holidays is more inclusive and we all should add it to our vocab. But I don't think there should be the condemnation of the term Merry Christmas. So we're still going to say that here on the show. We'll also wish everyone a happy holidays as well, to be inclusive. But as for Christmas, I celebrate Christmas. So here on the Troy Murphy Show, Merry Christmas to you all and happy holidays.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bell swing.
The Troy Murphy Show, driving you home Thursday nights from 6 p.m.
File this next segment under the holiday season really brings out the crazy in us all. A story doing the rounds this holiday season brings us to this week's Have Your Say question. Of course, the question is up on the Troy Murphy Show Facebook page, where you can, like the segment name suggests, have your say as we ask, is it wrong to ask guests to bring a dish to Christmas lunch? The reason we ask is because a man has been branded as selfish by his party guests after he asked them to bring a plate to help keep the costs down. A man explained on Reddit that he and his wife had received backlash for charging guests to attend their Christmas dinner or bring a plate of food themselves, as the dinner ends up setting them back a substantial cost. The man explained, out of the 27 people we invited this year, there were 6 people who had an issue with this in particular. None of them ended up RSVPing, and when his wife reached out, they said it was selfish to expect a dish from guests, not considerate, etc., etc. Look, I guess it changes when you ask people to pay the question, you know, is it wrong to ask guests to bring a dish or pay? But the question is only to bring a dish. because it gets conflated when you ask people to pay as well. That's when it gets a little bit icky. But for me, asking people to bring a dish is perfectly okay. What's it called? It's like a potluck Christmas meal or dinner or whatever it is. Especially, I think this is okay, especially if the host who is giving up their house as a venue and all that comes with it, you know, the cleaning before, the cleaning after, the hosting duties, the cooking, the entertaining. You know, I think it's okay if they delegate dishes, of course, you know, like bring a dessert or bring an entree, or can you do the seafood meal, or can you bring the roast chicken? I don't know, whatever it is. FYI, that's what we do in our family as grown-ups who go to my parents' house for a Christmas meal and all other celebrations, really, you know, birthday parties and things like that. In my family, you know, we all bring something. For me, I always bring pre-meal nibblies, you know, the cabanossi, the dips, the olives, the jets and Rice Krispies, all that fun stuff. In my mind, that's proper etiquette. Also, in subsequent years, since our family has started introducing young people, I had this thing called the Magic Blue Bag that has toys in it. And if we are having a big family thing or family and friends thing and there's more kids who turn up, the bag has toys in it for everyone. And I always make sure I buy toys that will entertain the kids for a fair amount of time. Like the recent Christmas party we had, it was jigsaw puzzles that you could also color in, which kept the kids entertained for over an hour. And if you're a parent, you would know that that is no easy task and you'd be very grateful for, because, you know, the kids to spend an hour doing something whilst you can enjoy your meal is a godsend. But all in all, it seems pretty standard nowadays to ask guests to bring food to a large group dinner rather than expecting the host to bear the brunt of it all. But I want your opinion. Head over to the Troy Murphy Show Facebook page and have your say as we ask, is it wrong to ask guests to bring a dish to Christmas lunch? We've already been flooded with responses so far. And here are some that have come through. David Rogerson has written, depends on what she looks like and if they are friends, I guess. Oh, David, cheeky. Mark Roberts has written, if guests have proper etiquette, they would either bring something of their choice or ask you what you want them to bring, thus avoiding the awkward convo. Darren Masterson has written, absolute proper behavior. Ryan Perryman Felton says, not at all. Candace Box, yes, they should bring a dish. It's etiquette, but they should never help clean up as guest. Look, I agree and disagree with this. As a host, I agree. Guests should never clean up. As a guest, I'm always one for helping cleaning up. And the only, well, we've had a disagreement. Michael Elbasha wrote, if you are inviting guests, it's rude to ask them to bring a dish. If a guest insists on bringing a dish, that's a different story. I guess the majority are in agreement here. Oh, there was also another one here that I found very fascinating, and I really like this one. Kevin Somerville has written, according to the rules as laid down by Emily Post. Now, Emily Post is the Bible that teaches proper etiquette and has done for generations. Great read if you ever want to sit down and read a really, really long book on etiquette. An invitation to a luncheon tactically implies that the host provides all the food, beverage, and entertainment as a courtesy. A guest may bring a gift such as a flower bouquet for the host or hostess, or chocolates. It would be the height of rudeness to bring food, which may imply the host's cuisine is not good enough. There we go. That's the actual rules of it all. So I guess there's a difference. If you bring one without being asked, that might be considered rude. And as Kevin pointed out, you know, that the host's cuisine is not good enough. But if you're being asked, I think today, by today's standards, I think it's a polite thing to do. Anyway, jump on the Facebook page, have your say. As coming up next, some strange news stories that you may have missed.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
Would you like to be involved in your local not-for-profit radio station? Would you like to become a 2SSR volunteer with the opportunity to be a presenter, provide office support or help with community events? If you would like to be part of the 2SSR family, call us on 9545 1800 or go to our website 2SSR.com.au and click on membership to download the application form.
Hey guys, Kieran here with the Antiques and Alternate Show, playing you Aussie alt and older antique songs. Join me 6 to 7pm Fridays for a bit of fun and a fresh new quiz every week. Tune in then.
2SSR FM 99.7.
Follow The Troy Murphy Show on Twitter. Search Troy Murphy.
The Troy Murphy Christmas Show or the Troy Murphy Holiday Special. Either which one, doesn't matter. I'm not fussed, but it's the Christmas Show. As we continue with the Troy Murphy Show house band singing our all-time favourite Christmas holiday music. Oh, to be politically correct in this crazy, zany world we live in order not to get cancelled.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight. We're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is the new bird. He sings a love song as we go along. Walking in a winter wonderland. Snowman, and pretend that he's a circus clown. We'll have lots of fun with Mr. Snowman until the other kids knock him down. When it snows, ain't it thrilling? Though your nose gets a chilling. We'll ride in the sleigh the Eskimo way, walking in the winter.
Show. Driving you home Thursday nights from 6pm.
File this next segment under some of the strange news stories that you may have missed this week. Oh, there has been some crazy stories this week. Two of the most notable names in the English-speaking world, Karen and Donald, seem set to go extinct as baby names in the UK within the next generation, according to online resource Baby Centre UK. The surprising, maybe not so surprising, fact, because let's face it, Donald, as in Donald Trump, has probably ruined the name, and Karen, well, we all know the... What's happening with Karens nowadays? Oh, to be a Karen. More of a nickname, really. Poor people who are actually called Karen. according to a discovery, thanks to the careful analysis conducted by the site's baby name experts when analysing which names seem set to go extinct, with few to no babies in 2023 expected to be queethed with these names. According to the database, just one baby was named Karen, was registered as a Karen in with the name Karen in the UK in 2022. I'm sure a lot of people were registered as Karens because of their behaviour, but with the name Karen, only one in the UK in 2022 compared to four the prior year. That's a pretty big decrease, 4-1. Likewise, only one boy was registered with the name Donald, down from 6 in 2021. Also in the news this week, you may have missed this one, but it's interesting, a 97-year-old woman who worked as a Nazi concentration camp secretary was convicted on Tuesday for her role in the murder of thousands of people in what could be one of Berlin's last trials for World War II crimes. Her role there was to complete paperwork that was necessary for the organization of the camp and the execution of the cruel systematic acts of killing, the court statement read. This is a kicker because at the start of her trial, it was delayed. This is back in 2021, when she briefly went on the run. She's 97 now. Last year, 96, and she's wheelchair bound. She escaped from her retirement home, evaded the cops, so she didn't have to go to trial. She was caught, when she failed to turn up to court. I shouldn't laugh. It's not a funny subject, but, you know, it's just, you can picture it. A 96-year-old woman in a wheelchair escaping the cops. Oh, dear. Now, because the woman was in her late teens working as a civilian employee for the camp's commander, she was convicted in youth court. Not quite sure what her punishment is, but she was convicted of her crime. War crime. In other news stories that broke this week, sharing passwords for online streaming services such as Netflix has been deemed against the law. According to a government agency, the Intellectual Property Office, the IPO, in the UK said on Tuesday that the practice broke copyright law. Password sharing is against the terms of service agreement. Good news thus far, Netflix has not indicated that it would take any legal action in such cases, but it has grounds to. However, the IPO stands by its guidance, saying that password sharing is both a criminal and civil matter. And what else can we look forward into 2023? Well, my friends, it's gonna be a big year. In 2023, Elon Musk's Neuralink, the company which promises to enable a direct interface between the human brain and computers, plans to begin human trials of its implantable brain chip. That's a no from me. That means, you know, you've got to have someone cut your skull open, plant a chip in there, put your skull back on, you know, let alone the scarring and having to regrow the hair bit for cosmetic reasons. But you've got to have a computer chip in your head that connects you to computers. We all know what viruses are like and all the spam bots. Imagine that, having direct access to your brain. This is going to be a disaster. Also coming in 2023... Japan hopes to launch the world's first satellite made out of wood in order to reduce space junk. Okay, Disney will celebrate its 100th year with lots planned for its parks, streaming services, tours, shows, the big screen, and more. That is going to be very exciting. I love Disney. I am a grown man who loves Disney. I'll happily put my hand up and admit to that one. On May 6th, we'll see the coronation of King Charles and Queen Consort Camilla. World Pride will take place in Sydney, with more than 500,000 people expected to come down under for the celebration. I think it's like a 14-day festival. Oh, it's going to be big. The world's first hydrogen-powered flying boat is set to launch in November. That's exciting for new technology. And of course, we're getting season 2 of many of our favorite streaming shows like Squid Games, Heartstopper, and potentially, oh, I'm very excited for this, an early 2023 announcement for season 2 of the Addams Family reboot, adaptation, whatever you like to call it, of the Netflix show Wednesday. Ah, 2023 is going to be a big year, my friends. I am looking forward to it. Stick around, because coming up next, we're going to talk about a man who, well, he lodged a World War I explosive, a bomb, inside him. And it caused a hospital evacuation when he went in to get it removed. Strange but true. And we discuss it next here on the show.
For everything off air, follow The Troy Murphy Show on Instagram. Search The Troy Murphy Show.
Fasten your Santa hats, because it's time to dive back into the Christmas music as we do the Troy Murphy Christmas Show with our house band, the Troy Murphy Show house band.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet, Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall the most famous reindeer of all?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say,
Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
Then how the reindeer loved him, as they shouted out to free. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you go down in history.
Merry Christmas, everyone!
The Troy Murphy Show, driving you home Thursday nights from 6 p.m.
File this next segment under This Has Got to Be the Weirdest Story We've Reported on This Year. And it will come with a little bit of a warning at the beginning. If you're squeamish, you're disgusted easily, come back in a couple of minutes' time. But if you love the weird, wacky, and wonderful stories and get a good giggle out of them, this one is most certainly for you. I'm just going to read the article as it was published, and you can make your own conclusion. The article reads, a French hospital was partially evacuated on Saturday after a senior citizen arrived with a World War I artillery shell lodged in his rectum. Yep, he put a bomb under his butt. That wasn't part of the article, I was just interjecting there. The 88-year-old patient visited Hospital Saint-Musée in Toulon, I probably pronounced that incorrectly, to have the antique explosive removed, but instead sparked a bomb scare, the French publication Var Martin reported. Interjecting again, who has a World War I bomb just laying around their house, and who gets the idea to stick it where the sun don't shine? Crazy world we live in. Back to the article, and the emergency occurred from 9 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. Oh, it's only a few hours, not too embarrassing for the old bloke, on Saturday evening, that required the intervention of bomb disposal personnel, the evacuation of adult and pediatric emergencies, as well as the diversion of incoming emergencies. This is all according to our hospital spokesperson. Could you imagine? Could you imagine not only the embarrassment of having something stuck up there, let alone it being a bomb, But then the bomb squad coming to having to come in and check to make sure it wasn't going to explode. The bomb disposal experts at the scene determined that there was little possibility that the shell could explode inside the man. Keyword here, little. Well, the bomb wasn't little. The bomb measured 8 inches long and was more than 2 inches wide. What? Ouch! The doctors, who were alleged to be stunned by this, subsequently began the process of trying to remove the object. Look, doctors, even though they get paid a bucket load, they don't get paid enough to remove bombs from people's butts that have little possibility of exploding. Could you imagine? Oh, imagine being in that surgery. You'd have to have all the bomb gear on you as well. Oh dear. It is believed that the patient inserted the item inside himself for pleasure. And medics were forced to take the elderly man into surgery, cutting open his abdomen in order to remove the relic. You know, I hope the relic, you know, now that it's been removed, if it wasn't destroyed in the process, either the inserting or the removing, gets put in a museum or something. You know, it is a World War One artillery shell. There can't be too many of them around anymore. According to the hospital, the gentleman is in good health and is expected to make a full recovery from the surgery. Look, I know, and I speak on experience as a male, in the heat of, and I'm sure I speak on behalf of most men, in the heat of hormonal overdrive, the male brain doesn't work that well. The blood is rushing to the head and not the head, if you know what I mean. But a bomb? Maybe at 88, the old bloke confused the term bang. Make of this news story what you will, ladies and gentlemen. As we do state in the show's opener, we do report on the weird, wacky, and wonderful news stories from around the world, and the French take the cake. I'm awarding this man, the French, this story, the TTMS Weirdest Story of the Year Award. Although there's nothing wonderful about this story, Eep. Could you imagine? Ouch, my butt. It was the baked beans. It was the Mexican, I swear. Oh, how do you go to hospital? How do you go to hospital and say, you walk up to the emergency ward and there's the counter there with the people behind it. How do you explain that you have a bomb stuck in your butt? And rewind a bit, you know, when you're at home doing the deed, at what point do you go, oh, crappeth, I think I'm going to have to go to hospital to get this room. You'd never live something like this down. I'm glad that the man's name wasn't mentioned, and I hope he didn't ring his family to take him to the hospital either. Oh, it's too much sometimes. It is just too much.
Stay tuned. More from The Troy Murphy Show coming up right after this.
Hi, Kirk Pengilly from INXS here. And whether it's music, sweet things, puppies, movies, we all love our treats. But our eyes need treating too. 300,000 Australians, including me, are affected by glaucoma. Diagnosed early, glaucoma can be managed. Left undiagnosed, it can cause blindness. So treat yourself by treating your eyes to a simple test. Book your test at treatyoureyes.org.au today.
It's bad enough when a child is sick, but when it's one of the family, all you want to do is help. Grant Dodds, presenter of New Sensations Drive, needs our help. His son, Isaac, has a condition called citrullinemia type 1, which can result in brain damage, coma, or even be fatal due to high levels of toxic ammonia building up in the body. But help might be just one bark away. An assistance dog would be able to smell high ammonia and raise the alert. But that sort of help doesn't come without a price. To donate, go to mycause.com.au and search for Isaac, I-S-A-A-C, and help fund an assistance dog that could change his life dramatically. Thank you.
Keeping it smooth in the Shire for over 20 years. Paul E. Routledge and Smooth Jazz. Will Downey. Gerald Albright. Brand new heavies. Paul E. Routledge and Smooth Jazz. Sunday, 6 p.m. for the drive home on FM 99.7.
SSR FM, the home of the Troy Murphy Show.
The Troy Murphy Christmas Show draws to an end. It's time to bring the Troy Murphy Show house band in for one last song. But first, round of applause for the house band. Thank you for coming in, house band, and doing all that wonderful music for us. So let's kick it off with our final song before we wrap this show up.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring to you and your kin. Good tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year. Oh, bring us a figgy pudding. Oh, bring us a figgy pudding. Oh, bring us a figgy pudding and a cup of good cheer. Good tidings we bring.
The Troy Murphy Show, done and dusted for another week. A huge thank you to you for tuning in. I'll be back next week from 6 p.m. for another edition of the Troy Murphy Show. If you missed any part of the show or want to listen back to any of the ranting or raving from tonight's extravaganza, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Search The Troy Murphy Show. Click the follow button and like. And you can also download the podcast on Spotify and iTunes or listen back on demand via the 2SSR.com.au website. Merry Christmas to you all. Happy holidays to you and your family, your friends and loved ones. May this most wonderful season bring you joy, happiness, and may it continue throughout the year. Bye for now.
Hear what they said on the radio?
No, I missed it.
I had to drive the kids to school.
I was at work.
I was helping with the sausage sizzle.
Catch the latest news updates, listen to podcasts, join us live with the Community Radio Plus app.
Hear what they said on the radio? Yeah, I was listening.
I was listening in the car.
Yeah, I was listening on my phone.
On the radio? I was listening when I got home.
Whatever you're doing, take us with you. Community Radio Plus, your home of community radio. Download from the App Store or Google Play.